Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. It's the Weekly Worldview. I am your host, Doug McBurney, back in studio for the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought, and it's so good to have everybody join the broadcast today, but especially my extremely attractive audio engineer in the studio again, as always. And where to begin? I have so much stuff here that I should just get right to it. But I want to start with a quick update. I've got to change screens here. Go over to a local Fox channel here in Denver, where they are reporting that Amber McCullough, a Minnesota mother who gave birth to conjoined twins back in August. You remember we did this story. Amber McCullough and Children's Hospital decided to perform an operation that they knew would kill one of the conjoined twins. They knew it. So they effectively killed one in order to ostensibly to save the other. And now they all hate each other. The mother, Amber McCullough, had her visitation rights pulled by the hospital for a brief period of time. And now McCullough is trying to raise money to move the surviving conjoined twin, well, not a conjoined twin anymore. She's trying to raise money to move her child out of Children's Hospital here in Denver. So they all just hate each other. And that often happens when evil people conspire together to do something corrupt and vile and wicked, like kill one baby to save that baby's brother or sister, that they all end up hating each other. And it appears that's what it has devolved to between McCullough and Children's Hospital here in Aurora, Colorado. And we will keep our eye on this story because, well, it's just disturbing. If you didn't hear about the story, I will do my best to put a link on the blog today so that you can read what's going on between the mother and the hospital administrators who conspired to kill one baby to save the other, which should never have been done. Should never have been done, and now they hate each other. All right, so I got that. Now I want to, we're going to talk about a number of things. We're going to talk about the police officer who was killed in Philadelphia and the reaction to it from various quarters. We'll talk about El Chapo. Yes, talk about El Chapo. Now recapture, but we want to start with the long-anticipated implosion of the Hillary Clinton campaign for president. I've got a story here from Life Zet. You know, like Gazette? Life Zet? This is apparently the new website run by Laura Ingraham, who is a radio talk show host, and now she's gotten into the amalgamated news game. What do they call them? I forget. There's a name for folks like Drudge and Breitbart. They just link to other stories. She has a site called LifeZet, and it has sections like PolitiZet and TVZet and SexZet. No, I don't know what all the Zets are. Z-E-T-T, a takeoff on Gazette. Very creative from Ms. Ingraham. And we thank you very much. But she does have a link to a fine story here. In fact, it may be her own story, according to former federal prosecutor Joseph DeGeneva. The latest batch of emails that were dumped on Friday afternoon by the State Department, they contain what he calls the smoking gun that forces the Justice Department to charge the former Secretary of State with a crime. DeGeneva says that Hillary caused to be removed a classified marking and then had the information transmitted in an unencrypted manner, and that's a felony. Yeah, it's all from a 2011 email chain carried on between Hillary and some flunky over at the State Department. She said, well, if you can't get it through secure, just take off the classification. Just fax it to me. I need it. Anyway, so some have speculated that while the FBI may recommend charges, Attorney General Loretta Lynch might try to avoid doing so for political reasons. And I think that's the conventional wisdom, but you don't generally get the conventional wisdom here at the Weekly Worldview. And the worldview wisdom is that the appropriately named Attorney General Loretta Lynch will indeed lynch Hillary Clinton. She will indict Hillary. I predict that Lynch will not avoid charging Hillary. In fact, the charges will come down forthwith. And I am sticking to my prediction that Hillary Clinton will not be the Democrat nominee for president in 2016. There's my big prediction for the year. And that file will be filed back into the politics file. And down in, we have from the subcategory in the politics file, from the drug test for politicians file, we have another report regarding Hillary Clinton. You may remember, this is from the Conway Daily Sun. I have no idea. Conway, I'm not sure where. Anyway, you may remember last year, Bubba Bill Jeff Clinton told TV host Jimmy Kimmel that he wouldn't be surprised if Earth is visited by aliens. Since, Bill Clinton said, Bubba Bill Jeff, you remember. He says he wouldn't be surprised if the Earth has been visited by aliens since there's so many planets out there that may support life. By golly, Shazam, says Bubba Bill Jeff. He says there are so many planets out there that would may support life. All right, Bubba. How many are there, Bubba? Can you name one? All right. Anyway, Hillary Clinton was giving an interview to someone, and she was asked about aliens because, well, that's where we are. And she said, quote, I think we may have been visited already. We don't know for sure, said Hillary Clinton. She says she... he has made me personally pledge. John Podesta, she says, has made me, Hillary Clinton, personally pledge that we are going to get information out regarding aliens one way or another. Maybe we could have, like, a task force to go to Area 51. That's one of the last statements Hillary Clinton made before her campaign imploded. Bernie Sanders is beating Hillary Clinton in Iowa and New Hampshire, according to the latest polling. And, well, there you go. Hillary Clinton already looking for aliens, and she hasn't even won the nomination yet. But maybe this is her attempt to capture some of those slipping Bernie Sanders voters. She's like, hey, guys, I'll look for aliens. I mean, Bernie's, I can be just as, all right. That's that. Enough politics. We'll go to El Chapo. El Chapo was recaptured. El Chapo Guzman, head of the Sinaloa cartel, alleged head of the Sinaloa cartel, and reportedly worth, I don't know, more than the current Powerball, which is up around $1 billion. El Chapo Guzman, he's got $1 billion in the ashtrays of his various armored limousines. So they caught El Chapo, and they've apparently returned him to the very prison that he escaped through that elaborate tunnel system that Jerry Rivers went and investigated. That Jerry Rivers, you know, Geraldo Rivera. Yeah. So that they sent him back to that prison. And I've got to give you my opinion on this. I believe that if Mexico had a just ruler, he would have Joaquin El Chapo Guzman immediately upon his firm identification, El Chapo would be shot in the head on national television within 24 hours of his sure identification. And you've got to ask yourself, why does that not happen? Why would El Chapo be returned to the very prison that he already escaped from? And it's well, here's the thing. Everyone who touches El Chapo on the way back to prison stands to make anywhere from $5,000 to $50,000 after his next escape. And, yeah. And but here's the thing all these people don't realize is the longer El Chapo is allowed to live, the more people he threatens, both directly and indirectly. The guy's obviously able to run a drug cartel out of prison. He's able to escape and dig elaborate tunnels. And he is an existential threat to every guard, every cop, every prosecutor, every judge, every lawyer who comes in contact with him. Because he's a stone killer is what he is. But you see, the last time El Chapo escaped, one of the first things he did was start paying off all the people who helped him. And I'm certain that many of them were the very people who captured him. And El Chapo he's kind of like the Mexican justice system's ATM machine. So they think. But what they're not sure how many people El Chapo paid off and how many people El Chapo killed off. And so a just ruler would have El Chapo publicly executed immediately upon his sure identification, but that is not going to happen because we live in a corrupt world, Mexico being particularly corrupt in the area of criminal justice. I know you heard about Sean Penn. Sean Penn interviewed El Chapo while he was on the run. Apparently, the reason El Chapo escaped was that he wanted to make a movie about his life. Following on the heels of the success of the Narcos movie, apparently that was a big success. El Chapo felt left out, and he apparently started calling people in Hollywood. Sean Penn goes down, interviews him, and Sean Penn doesn't help the police try to find one of the biggest mass murderers in the history of Mexico. Sean Penn's just looking to score a screenplay for which Sean Penn should be arrested, possibly flogged, possibly executed, depending on what we can convict him of. And so we'll move now from Sinaloa, Hollywood, over to the Valley, where a California pornography production company say they are now issuing what they call a pornography model's bill of rights. They call them pornography model. These are the people in the dirty movies, okay? They've got the new Bill of Rights, they say. They've issued this following accusations of abuse, they say, against performers in the industry there. The new rules emphasize consent, attempt to guard against potential abuses, and encourage reporting of any violations. That's the Bill of Rights if you're working for this particular pornography production company. It's a bit ironic, since what pornographic actors do every day is abuse one another and violate one another. And now they're shocked that some amongst them don't have any standards when it comes to sexual assault and abuse. Apparently, some of these porn actors have claimed that a certain porn actor sexually abused them, violated. One says that her boundaries were violated. She's a porn actress, I guess. Well, you never know these days. Probably an actress. Anyway, this particular company is currently involved in four lawsuits brought by former performers, one of which alleges that the company failed to protect the model from assault. I'm not sure whether these were filmed and released assaults or whether these happened. It's hard to say. Such allegations of abuse have launched a period of really intense debate within the pornography industry about just how this could have happened and how it could have been prevented. One of the spokespersons for the porn company says, "We've always tried to lead the industry in regards to ethical sets and model rights." You know what's really sad about this story? This is all about a particular company. I'm not going to give their name because I don't want to give any promotion to a company that I believe deals in a criminal enterprise that on a daily basis facilitates and films for-profit criminal acts. And I believe that any executive of a pornography production and distribution company, I believe they are committing a capital crime for which they should be executed. Anyway, the facilities that house the headquarters and the studios of this particular porn company, it's located in a building they call the Armory. And the reason they call it the Armory is because the porn headquarters there in California formerly housed the National Guard. Let that one sink in. This is what we've devolved to since pornography was legitimized and legalized starting back in the 1950s. We've gone from a building that houses the protectors of America and everything that's good and right and just to a filthy porn mill where people abuse each other on camera and off and then have the audacity to accuse one another of abuse. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. This is the Weekly Worldview. And that's right, you know where you're going. That would be the... Now, from the That's Darkly Ironic file, we go to another organization that has issued rules on exactly how women are to be abused, but this time it's not a pornography production company out of California. It is the Islamic State. Darkly ironic, he said. Yes, ISIS has issued a fatwa on how and when ISIS fighters can rape female sex slaves. This comes to us from documents seized by U.S. Special Forces in Syria. Well, I don't want to go through the rules because, well, they're a bit rough. Anyway, the owner of a female captive who has a daughter suitable... All right, I can't read that. Can I read any of these rules? Let's see. Here we go. Should a mighty warrior for Allah determined to have intercourse with a mother, then he is not permitted to have intercourse with her daughter. She is to be off limits to him, states the fatwa. I wonder if Jerry Rivers was aware that he is more of a sexual deviant even than ISIS. Yeah, Jerry Rivers, Geraldo Rivera. Oh, you guys haven't read his autobiography? Anyway, it's probably rather inside baseball, but if you ever pick up Geraldo Rivera's autobiography, you'll understand that reference. Let's see, the fatwa from ISIS lists 15 rulings which go into detail prohibiting, among other things, forced abortions. You're not allowed to, if you do impregnate a sex slave, you are not allowed to force her to have an abortion, making ISIS one step above the government of China in its treatment of women. And that is why this story came to us from the, that is darkly ironic, file. And we will move on into the war file. We have a message from beyond the grave this past week from Colonel Muammar Gaddafi. He was on the phone with Tony Blair back in February of 2011 when the civil war there in Libya was threatening to topple Colonel Gaddafi. And Gaddafi said that the jihadists, quote, they want to control the Mediterranean and then they will attack Europe. I am warning you. He says they have managed to get arms and people cannot leave their homes. This is a jihad situation here in Libya. The Libyan people will die. There will be damage in the Mediterranean. Europe and the whole world. These armed groups are using the situation as a justification. And he was basically asking Tony Blair, could NATO please stop bombing my headquarters? Because if you kill me, the terrorists, the jihadists, the Islamists, well, they'll establish a base here and they'll cause turmoil in the Middle East and they will attack Europe. According to this story from the Telegraph in London, Mr. Blair made two phone calls to Gaddafi to try to negotiate the dictator's departure from Tripoli during the civil war. 3 weeks later, a NATO-led coalition that included Britain began bombing, and that all eventually led to Gaddafi being overthrown captured, sodomized, and murdered by a mob of Islamist maniacs in Libya. And then we have what we have, which is, I mean, Muammar Gaddafi, not a good guy. Absolutely not. Absolutely deserved to be captured and murdered. I will probably not sodomize the way he was. What with an AK-47 and all. But definitely deserved to be brought to justice in a capital sense. But that was handled very badly by Mr. Tony Rock and Roll Blair, as well as Ma Clinton, Hillary, who was the Secretary of State, who said famously of Muammar Gaddafi and the situation in Libya, she said, "We came, we saw, he died." And she cackled. And now they've unleashed hell on the entire Middle East and in Europe every once in a while, and even here in America, as we saw in San Bernardino and most recently in Philadelphia, which we will get to that story as well. In the meantime, the Libyan National Oil Company this past week issued what can only be described as a cry for help. Bloomberg reports that militants attacked an oil tank in one of Libya's largest oil production facilities, set it on fire. They are aiming to take over all of Libya's oil production or just burn it to the ground. That's the thing about the Islamists. Is if they can't take it, they'll just destroy it. Islamic State militants, according to Bloomberg, previously tried to attack this petroleum terminal. They were repelled by the guards back in October. But now they are right now, as we go to air, attacking this petroleum facility in Libya, and threatening to capture Africa's largest oil reserves. So when Hillary came and saw and Muammar Gaddafi died, Libya was pumping about 1.6 million barrels a day. They are currently producing less than 400,000 barrels a day. And what that means for the average poor person in Libya is that they don't have any food to eat and they don't have any clean drinking water. That's thanks to Hillary Clinton and Tony Blair, Barack Obama. There's a number of people we could name, almost every conservative radio talk show host supported the deposition of Muammar Gaddafi. I did not. At the time, I said it is just to kill the guy, but it's just not wise to do it this way. And I was proven correct. But the one thing that must be remembered is that when a dictator reigns for 30 or 40 years and he's completely wicked and evil and he's allowed to be so by righteous men who are too scared to kill him and to capture his territory and set up a just government, because we were too afraid to do that, now the sins of the father are visited upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. And that's what the people of Libya, the ones who can't escape, that's what they are experiencing right now. I've got to go to North Korea off that, since we're talking about dictators. Let's talk about Kim Jong-un there in North Korea, where they claim to have detonated a hydrogen bomb. Another story from Bloomberg. Now, whatever happened there in North Korea, we know one thing, that a nuclear device was detonated, a nuclear test took place. But what I noticed in the news media, the mainstream media, as well as the so-called conservative media over at Faux News and some of the talk show hosts on the radio, was that their initial response to the report that Dung had tested a hydrogen bomb, their initial response was skepticism. Well, we're skeptical. This story from Bloomberg says the North Korean regime has a history of exaggerating its technological prowess. U.S. officials said it's unlikely that the regime could have developed a hydrogen bomb. Come on, there's nothing to worry about here. Well, here's the thing. If a maniac, a stone-cold murdering maniac, says he wants to do harm to you, and that he's building the capacity to do so, I think the strategy should be to take him at his word and isolate him as a significant threat in every public statement you make about him, and don't ever question the fact that this guy is going to inflict harm upon you. If something doesn't change, eventually North Korea will inflict significant harm upon its neighbors, perhaps even the United States. So I don't think it's very wise for politicians and thought leaders and talkers to just say, well, that guy's crazy, says he has. A hydrogen bomb should have been at least a 7 on the Richter scale, and that was only a 5. All right. So he's got a 5, all right? So I would take him seriously, and I would be making speeches condemning him, stating that we don't know exactly what he did, but one thing we know is he must be stopped. And I know that our attention lies elsewhere most of the time now, what with the Islamic plague exploding all over the earth. But this guy is very serious. And I want to remind you, as Bloomberg does in the story, North Korea's claims of putting a satellite in orbit in 1998 and then again in 2009 were initially disputed, and he was dismissed as a nut job before the nation actually achieved that feat in December of 2012. So here's the thing. Don't undersell what North Korea is doing to the American people, because eventually this guy will have a hydrogen bomb if we don't get our act together and stop him. They say, by the way, Bloomberg says, the actual test recorded in North Korea likely had a yield of perhaps 30,000 tons of TNT, comparable to that of the atomic bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima. So here's the thing. His initial nuclear test was, it was way less than 30 kilotons. And now he's up to 30,000. And let me tell you, if that went off in San Francisco or L.A., that would be a serious problem. One more thing. The White House issued a statement saying that North Korea's actions constitute yet another violation of its obligations and commitments under international law. Barry Obama and Asian leaders have agreed to work together to forge a united and strong international response to North Korea's behavior. And then the White House trotted out spokesman Josh Earnest, and he immediately questioned the claim, saying that analysis of the underground activity in North Korea is not consistent with the claims that the regime has made a successful hydrogen bomb test. Ladies and gentlemen, please, nothing to see here, nothing, just move along. Yes, the 80s when we were not afraid that someone was going to blow us up in our bedroom at any given moment or shoot us at the mall, but pop singers were allowed to parade their homosexuality right out there in front of everybody. Very disturbing that that was allowed to happen. How did that song ever make it into the rotation anyways? These guys, do you hear that voice? What are you talking about? I remember I had a sergeant in the Marine Corps who described that voice. There was that voice, and there were many others in the new wave genre that had that unique timbre. And I don't know if there are any listeners in the audience who who spent any time at Barracks 483, but... If you did, you may have heard that described. It's not something I can go into on the air. But it was, let me just put it this way. My sergeant was decrying the fact that Homos had the number one album in the country. It was very sad. All right. We move now to the Bad Religion file, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The officer who was shot and killed by an ISIS jihadist. This 33-year-old officer. Did I say shot and killed? I'm sorry, he was not shot and killed. In fact, he was shot, but then he shot back. Jesse Hartnett, a heroic police officer in Philadelphia. This ISIS terrorist fired 13 shots through the driver's side of the car. He only managed to hit the officer three times, reinforcing my axiom that the only thing that protects us from the Islamist invasion is the fact that they are inept and incompetent. He hit this officer three times. The officer then opened the officer, I think if you watch the video, it looks to me like Mohammed there. Do we have this guy's name yet? We don't have his name. We're going to assume his name was Mohammed. He stuck his gun in the car to finish the cop off, at which point it looks like the cop shot him, because he immediately runs away. And then the cop opens the door, starts chasing him and shooting him. I was standing up and cheering. It's very disturbing, the response of American political leaders and media figures when attacks like this happen. According to the Mohammed, the shooter, according to him, he told police that he shot the officer because the police enforce laws that are contrary to the teachings of the Quran. At which point, the mayor called a press conference there in Philadelphia and said, "This shooting does not represent the religion of Islam in any way, shape, or form, or any of its teachings." At which point, every thinking American stopped and said, "Mayor Kenny, have you read the Quran?
Mayor Kenny says, this has nothing to do with being a Muslim, or following the holy Islamic faith. All right, I added the word holy. I thought the mayor was going to whip out a skull cap and a prayer rug at any moment. Get down there with the cab drivers. Start praying to Mecca. It's unbelievable. Now, this story, this is from CBS in Philadelphia. They say Philadelphia's Muslim community is reacting to the shooting. And what they've done there in the Muslim community is they've scheduled a mass demonstration to condemn Islamic violence. Well, no, actually, I made that up. They haven't done that. Here is the statement released by Muslim Community USA spokesperson, Bilal Koyayoyoyou. He says, we are very upset that this man would proclaim a violent act in the name of Islam. Mr. Bilal, is his name Bilal, not Balil, I'm sorry. Too many vowels. Bilal, I just wanted to ask you, you're very upset that he would proclaim his act was in the name of Islam, but what about the act? Are you upset about that? That's the thing about these Islamic leaders, whenever they condemn anything that one of these terrorists do, they never actually condemn the act. If you actually roll the tape back and listen to what these people say, we are very upset. This has nothing to do with Islam. He should never have mentioned Islam. But they don't say that this maniac should not have shot the policeman. And if he's captured and convicted, he should be executed. That's what they should say. Oh, I forgot. Bilal Kwayuyu, spokesperson for the Muslim Community USA, says that the Muslim community in Philadelphia are praying for the officer. Yes, we will be praying. Mm-hmm. You know, I have quite often in my career come up against law enforcement. Because here in America, you see, police find themselves quite often enforcing laws that go against God's enduring moral commands. In particular, thou shalt not murder. That's one of the big ones. And quite often, it is police officers who stand guard at the very abortion mills where innocent people are butchered by the thousands every day. And I've been down there on the front lines, and I've had interactions with law enforcement. I've been arrested, yes. I've been thrown in jail and made fun of. I've had the cuffs on so tight that my fingertips turned blue. But I never considered shooting a police officer because they enforce the laws that go against God's enduring moral commands. And that's what separates a Christian worldview from an Islamic worldview. It's just one of the many things. But, you know, the question that the average heathen out there who isn't paying attention to any of this, and even the heathens that are paying attention and want us to have sympathy for the Muslim Community USA, the question that all you heathens are going to be forced to answer soon enough is this. Do you want to be governed by men restrained by godly fear and Christian love? Or do you want to be ruled by those who have neither? Because you're going to get it one way or another, okay? You're going to be ruled by someone. And the question is, do you want to be ruled by us or do you want to be ruled by them? Because one way or another, you're going to get it, okay? So there. Now, let's see. More from the war file. Funny that I mentioned Barracks 483. This next story is from the Marine Corps Times, as a matter of fact. The Marine Corps Times reports that the Marine Corps has been ordered to make its boot camp co-ed and to make its job titles gender neutral. And yeah, I know. Just let that one sink in. They're going to make boot camp co-ed, and they're going to make their job titles gender neutral. The Secretary of Defense
The Secretary of the Navy, who I will not name, sent a memo to the Commandant of the Marine Corps, both of them butt boys for Barack Obama. These are officers who have survived Barack Obama's purges, which tells you that they are beholden to Barack Obama for their career, and they support him in his efforts to destroy the U.S. military, or at least degrade it as much as possible before he leaves office. The Navy Secretary demands that the Commandant of the Marine Corps comply by April 1st, 2016. That's April Fool's Day, by the way. I wonder if he did that on purpose. He wants the Marine Corps to go co-ed and gender neutral, and he wants it done by April Fool's Day. The Department of the Navy's implementation plan, according to the memo, must include gender integration of Marine Corps training and officer candidate school. Gender integration, by the way, means gender neutral. You're not going to be able to say, well, let me. Mabus says, that's the Secretary of the Navy, whose name I was not going to give, but there I've given it. The Navy Secretary says he doesn't intend to require iconic titles like infantryman or rifleman to be changed, he says, for the moment. What would you change infantryman to? Infantry person. I'm an infantry person. And I'm standing alongside a rifle person. And we are going to defend America. That's just great. So Barack Obama, the Secretary of the Navy, sodomizing the Commandant of the Marine Corps from now, at least up and through April Fool's Day. And we'll see if the Commandant gets in line. Just shut up and get in line. Just disgusting, heartbreaking. For any of us who wore the uniform. Anyway, I remember when I was in the Marine Corps, they opened the first barracks that was co-ed. They had a floor for boys and a floor for girls. It was a scene, man. I mean, it was a wild scene. I'm just telling you. And back then, that was kind of shocking to us. You're going to put the boys on top of the girls and then the girls on top of the boys floor by floor there in the barracks right across the street? Are you kidding me? Are you serious? And they did. And now they're going to go gender neutral, and they're not even going to be able to mention gender. In fact, there won't be any more genders because everybody will be an androgynous sex pervert involved in a social experiment to see how often and early soldiers, sailors, Marines, and airmen can defile one another in the barracks. And there it's just disgusting. And this is why, ladies and gentlemen, if this is allowed to continue, this is why the wild-eyed, maniacal hordes of Islam will eventually conquer this nation. You're going to turn the Marines into a bunch of girly men. They already let in the queers. And it's all downhill from there. That's all. What else can you say about that? Meanwhile, we'll move out of the war file. We'll move into the, this is reason number 1026. To keep or get your children out of the government schools. This comes to us from Haddon Heights, New Jersey, via CBS News at Glenview Elementary School. It became a daily ritual for students to sing God Bless America after the morning recital of the Pledge of Allegiance. They started doing this as a way to honor first responders after 9/11. Well, the ACLU has threatened the school board there with a letter challenging the recital of God Bless America as unconstitutional. Yep, the ACLU sent a letter. And rather, according to CBS, rather than engage in an expensive legal battle, the school is going to look for alternative ways to honor those who responded to the September 11th tragedy. I'm sorry, sir. We'll no longer say God Bless America. We'll find another way. Perhaps we'll give the children red, white, and blue condoms, and then and we'll just all get in line. Worldview. I am your host, Doug McBurney. So glad to have you along with us. So glad you're here. It's always good. Extremely attractive. Audio engineer was wrapped up in the tune. She was just bebopping along.
I'm sorry.
Yes. We demand a certain level of professionalism here at the Worldview. That will not be tolerated. Meanwhile, folks, speaking of the 60s, over in Salt Lake City, Utah, Fox News, the local Fox 13 station is reporting that the Utah Attorney General has announced, he's made an announcement that he has no plans to prosecute polygamist Cody Brown and his sister wives for bigamy. Why? Let's see if we can figure out why. Decision is made not to prosecute the Browns unless the investigation found evidence of welfare fraud, spousal, or child abuse. So here's what we've devolved to since, let's just say 1968. I was watching CNN's, they have a production of the 60s, and they have, it's several hours. And they have one complete hour dedicated to 1 year, 1968, when all hell just broke loose across America. Politicians were assassinated. Martin Luther King was assassinated. Bobby Kennedy was assassinated. There were riots. There were fires. There were bombings. There were hippies. There were feminists burning their bras. The whole country was going insane. It got so bad. And people were so scared that they elected Richard Nixon. So just let that sink in for a second. That's how bad it got. You know, it kind of reminds me, I think Donald Trump is something of a Nixonian character. That by the time the election rolls around, so much bad stuff is going to have happened. That America is quite possibly going to run into the arms of Donald Trump. And I know a lot of people, they want to equate Donald Trump with Ronald Reagan. But the more apt analogy is Richard Nixon. Yes, a liberal who in a time of crisis campaigns as a conservative, bamboozles the Christians, and then winds up in office and basically squanders it all and destroys the country for a decade. We'll be lucky to get off that easy if Mr. Trump ends up in the White House. And so I am making an announcement today that I will not be endorsing Donald Trump for president. But I do understand you people who are attracted to Donald Trump. Don't get me wrong. I understand it completely. Because I have paid attention to history, and all of this has happened before. Now, back to Utah. I wanted to tell the Attorney General that there was a time in our country when attorneys general and presidents and congressmen and even the dog catcher knew that bigamy in and of itself constitutes spousal and child abuse. See, we knew that once. But now that the sex perverts are allowed to march down the street and even get married in front of God and everybody with no shame, now the finest legal minds in the country don't recognize that bigamy in and of itself is abuse. And they've lost their way. Do I have anything else from this story? Let's see. The sister wives pile of perverts there sued the state of Utah over their polygamy ban. They argued that it violated their constitutional rights. And now they say they're afraid of prosecution because... Well, they initiated a lawsuit. In 2014, federal judges struck down Utah's same-sex marriage ban, and then they also struck down the cohabitation prong of the state's anti-bigamy laws. So they basically said it's okay to shack up. We don't know that there's anything wrong with that, and it won't be long before. It won't be long before there just is no. It's all falling apart. I mean, once you said that open public homosexuality was a good thing to be tolerated, and that adultery was no big deal and certainly not criminal. The wheels were set in motion at that point to grind families and particularly children into powder. Those wheels have been in motion now for several decades. And so nobody knows right from wrong anymore. They don't understand. How could it be a problem if people want to have several wives? Well, unless there's abuse, it's all consensual. We don't know. We don't know nothing. I mean, you're giving marriage licenses to open freak deviant perverts. It's kind of hard to draw the line at bigamy once you've done that. And you're telling the adulterers and the fornicators that if there is an inconvenient pregnancy that occurs, we can facilitate getting rid of that too. So you've basically made it legal to commit adultery and fornication and then to kill the innocent people that might make those situations inconvenient. So it's kind of hard to go back now and tell this pile of perverts here in Utah or Nevada where they live now that there's anything wrong with anything having anything at all to do with anything like that. On a bright note from the politics file, Supreme Court Chief Justice Roy Moore, there in Alabama, he is the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, issued an order this past week directing probate judges to stop issuing marriage licenses to homosexuals. Yes, I got this from Matt Truella's site, lessermagistrate.com. Roy Moore's order states that until further decision by the Alabama Supreme Court, probate judges have a duty not to issue marriage licenses contrary to the laws of Alabama, those laws specifically being the Sanctity of Marriage Amendment or the Alabama Marriage Protection Act. Judge Moore then points to a recent ruling by the United States Supreme Court of Appeals, which ruled that the U.S. Supreme Court's Obergefell decision did not directly invalidate the marriage laws of the states. And so I appreciate Judge Roy Moore standing up and saying, hey, we shouldn't be issuing marriage licenses to sex perverts. Although I don't think he put that fine a point on it. I'll help him with that. What bothers me here is the first line of Roy Moore's statement. Until further decision by the Alabama Supreme Court. So what does that mean, Roy? We're leaving this as an open question? Is the Alabama Supreme Court the Alabama Supreme Being, and they have the right, if they want to define marriage? Does anyone have the right to define marriage, Mr. Moore, except God who created us and instituted marriage long before there was any human government, long before there was a single law, long before there was a single lawyer, and long before there was a judge or a Supreme Court judge? No one. Roy Moore, I mean, you're hitting all around the bullseye here, and I can appreciate you trying to help, but you could at least include in your ruling the fact that no earthly institution has the authority to define what God defined in his book that he wrote. It's right there in the book at the very beginning. These people make me crazy. I love Judge Roy Moore, but, at the end of the day, you got to keep in mind he's a lawyer. And it's very difficult for someone to become schooled in the law without losing one's common sense and an ability to recognize that there are laws that men cannot and shall never override. I mean, they can ignore them for a brief period of time, as has been done immediately prior to the fall of various civilizations, empires, nations, families, cities, communities, men. You can ignore them for a time, but you will not break God's enduring law. God's enduring law will break you. And Judge Roy Moore is in a wonderful position to remind people of that, and I would hope that in the near future he will do so. Now we've got the... Do I have any time left? Well, very little. Oh, boy. I was going to report on the New Year's Eve rapes that occurred in Europe, all over Germany, are the ones that we know about so far. But what I don't think has been reported is that this culture of mass mobs raping women during celebrations, This is common fare in the Islamic world, people. And what the European socialist liberals did not realize when they opened their doors to the so-called refugees was they were inviting into their civilization a completely uncivilized people. This is what occurs in the Islamic world during celebrations. Mobs of men rape and assault women. It's standard fare in the Islamic world. And I did not say the radical Islamic world, ladies and gentlemen, because it's standard fare in the entire Islamic world. Just Islam, okay? This is what they do. You think, you don't think. Anyway, do a little bit of research, ladies and gentlemen, and you'll see. I mean, do you remember the CBS reporter in Tahrir Square as she was celebrating the wonderful outbreak of democracy in Egypt, and she was grabbed by a mob and raped? Do you remember? I'm telling you, this is standard fare. All right. I guess I'm out of time, so I'm not going to be able to cover the what the Daily Beast calls the hypocritical world of ISIS, where they're allowed to rape men, but if you're a homosexual, then they execute you. I won't have an opportunity to... That's radical Islam, okay? So the radicals are even worse than your average Muslim mob in the street, but they're all pretty bad. All right, I want to end the show reminding America that this month marks the 100-year anniversary of Margaret Sanger's very first birth control clinic in New York City in Brooklyn. Got an interview that I'll link to from Reuters, interviewing the grandson of Margaret Sanger. His name is Alexander Sanger. He's a chairman of the International Planned Parenthood Council, former president of Planned Parenthood in New York. This is Margaret Sanger's grandson. Reuters reports that the religious liberty fight over contraception is back in the U.S. Supreme Court. They're expected to rule in July on whether there's an exemption that would allow companies to opt out of forcing their employees to pay for contraceptives as a mandate under Obamacare. All right. Anyway, folks, don't get caught up in the religious liberty paradigm. It's a false paradigm. It's not about religious liberty. It's about making criminal behavior legal. And it's not about birth control. We know what Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood was about. It was all about abortion. Anyway, it's 100 years on since Margaret Sanger, and it's at least 60 million innocent people murdered in what was her ultimate goal, which was abortion, the legalized killing of children. And I guess I'll leave it at that because I'm out of time, but I'll have more this week, Monday, KLT AM 670. I will be on the air on the terrestrial radio here in Denver at 3 o'clock if you want to tune in. In the meantime, I want to thank my friends at KGOV, at Denver Bible Church, at American Right to Life, at Theology Online, and of course my other brother Darryl, who makes it all happen. Here in the Weekly World View Studios, should the Lord tarry, I and my extreme audio engineer wish you all the best, and we ask and hope and pray that the grace of God go with you and the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.